My name's Tony Jenkins. I'm a soil scientist in Maine, presently. Before that, I was in West Virginia, and we conducted quite a bit of sampling of the major soils that we map, the major components of the map units. And so this is a presentation basically of soil survey information that's available to you, and it's largely thanks to Mike Wilson and his crew at the National Soil Survey Laboratory, Lincoln, Nebraska. And we are looking at mercury in this presentation, but we have a whole host of elements from total elemental analysis for these pedons and profiles in West Virginia and Maine, minor trace elements as well as major elements. I was very sorry to hear that that wasn't parts per billion in the last presentation. I spent my high school and college years working and living around Oak Ridge, and I consumed probably 100 or 200 kilograms of fish fillets over the years from that area. And I mapped soils. My first soil survey experience was actually around Y-12 and X-10 at the National Lab there. And they were the biggest, best-tasting blackberries I've ever run into. Enough said, but explains a lot, perhaps. I have a couple vested interests in mercury, and we have fish consumption advisories in Maine, of course, and I have two small children, and it's my sons, like me, when we see a fish, when other people see a fish, we see potential fillets, you know. And but anyway, that's the lighter moment. So the objective here is to highlight the soil survey data that we have for Maine and West Virginia, and just contrast the distribution of mercury concentrations within soil profiles and between the state, the states to some extent, and also take a look at from another angle, looking at aerial stocks, kilograms per hectare, based on calculations from these concentrations. The methods, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but it's we have approximately 45 sites and pedons in Maine, and well over 100, probably close to 140 now in West Virginia that this data come from. We got whole pedon characterization in West Virginia. We did a number of different techniques to get bulk density estimates as well. In Maine, the bulk density estimates that lead to aerial estimates of mercury come from an equation that we developed based on organic carbon, and the R squared on that was about 0.89. The sites in Maine, Northwoods of Maine, first of all, I should say that I sort of expected to see higher mercury in the Maine soils than West Virginia based on the precipitation patterns and where the coal-fired power plants are in the Northeast, and also based on the number of fish consumption advisories. But the red dots, if you can see them, are our sample sites, and they're very remote locations of forested soils in Maine, forest soils only. They're not proximal to anything except trees and stumps. So it's a very remote region. In West Virginia, our sample sites were primarily in the Allegheny Plateau of West Virginia, and they encompassed a number of different of parent materials, geologic parent materials. Let me go back to Maine for just a second. The soils in Maine are, if you saw in that first slide there on the title slider, these are all spodosols that we sampled, or in a few cases, aqueps, but it's all lodgment or basal till from mostly Devonian age slates and some granite. In West Virginia, these are residual and colluvial soils from a number of different sedimentary parent materials, ranging from Devonian all the way up through fairly late Pennsylvania materials. As far as the lab analysis parts of the methods, I just referenced it here. I'm ignorant of this stuff compared to most of the folks in the room, probably, so I won't belabor it, but it is referenced in the National Soil Survey Lab manual. So we'll look at the results based between states, among horizons, among pedons, and so forth, looking at distributions of mercury in the pedons and also in the states. Here's Chesuncook pedons, which Chesuncook series is the state soil of Maine. It's rather extensive, and these are classic distribution patterns that from what we've found in Maine, where mercury is highest. This is all parts per billion, by the way. mercury is highest in the youngest and least decomposed organic matter in these soils as a rule. So where this would be an OI or an OE, and this would be an OA. And then they bottom out in the alluvial horizons very nicely. We have nice light-colored E horizons in Maine, and that's where mercury concentrations bottom out. Then they come back up to their secondary peak in the spodic horizon, where they're reprecipitated, or presumably it's reprecipitated with other metals, aluminum and iron. And then it slowly drops off to a pretty surprisingly consistent number down. This is down in the dense basal till, which is relatively unweathered. So this is a typical pattern that you'd see in the Maine soils. In West Virginia, it's quite different. they do tend to rise slightly with depth. This is one of the higher ones here at a little over 100. The Leyland is a very deep colluvial soil that's mapped around south central West Virginia on the plateau. It's an ultisol. Is that correct, Steve? Yes. And it shows a little different pattern, which is interesting to me. It looks to me like the peak of mercury in these soil profiles is not the very youngest. The most recent leaf litter, the OIs and OE material, it actually goes up in the OAs and A horizons, and then it drops down, and then it rises slowly back up. And these are much older, more weathered soils. But I think it's possible that this reflects a decrease in localized mercury deposition in the post-Clean Air Act, but it's strictly conjecture on my part, but it's interesting. This soil, which doesn't exhibit that, is interesting in that it does not have O horizons. It just starts with an A. And so it's an interesting pattern. I think it begs further inquiry. If you look at all of the data for Maine that we have for this presentation, it exhibits a similar pattern. Of course, you lose the E horizon stuff in the noise, but you can kind of see where it takes place there. But it drops sharply from some of the higher ones around 1,700 parts per billion down to a very consistent 30 or 40 parts per billion in the unweathered material. In West Virginia, it's a little more messy. It's not nearly as high for the highest surface horizons, but it comes up substantially down at depth in a number of soils. When you put them together, again, it shows generally it looks like that there's more in the surface of the main soils and perhaps more mercury in the subsoil areas of West Virginia. So I just decided to chop off the upper horizons of these things and then compare them. So I used 6.5% organic carbon, and I segregated the horizons with that much or more to compare between Maine and West Virginia, and that much or less to compare. And what happens is with the surface horizons, it's visually, it certainly is higher in the Maine soils. And I won't hazard a statistical guess on this. It wasn't the purpose. This is to relate things to those of you who are much better at research than I. Down in the subsurface horizons, and again, this is 6.5% organic carbon, so it still includes a number of horizons that are not very far from the surface, but it eliminates all the O horizons. And here it's less conclusive. There appear to be the same population by and large. And just to follow up on that, there seems to be a pretty nice visual relationship, 0.58 R squared for mercury to organic carbon in the main soils. And if you can read that, 0.39, I think, for the West Virginia soil. So again, the trend appears to me that we have considerably more or higher mercury concentrations in the surfaces of the main soils. Thought it would be interesting to convert this to kilograms per hectare for mercury stocks among all these series that we looked at. And there were a couple of differences that came out as being significant using ANOVA. The Gilpin soil and the Nowlin soil appear to be higher than the other the other soil series in terms of the aerial stocks. Those are plateau ridgetop soils of broad ridgetops. And I won't make any further inferences with landform, but there could be something going on there, but I suspect it has more to do with deposition. Among the very deep series, there were no significant differences, and here are the ranges. But the kilogram stocks of these soils range are always less than 1 kilogram per hectare based on these calculations. Just, I've not seen it expressed like that. It's just kind of interesting. And here's the box plot for that. The conclusions, well, first of all, the primary purpose is to draw attention to the soil survey information that's out there. We have quite a nice data set now, and that's public domain. That's at the National Soil Survey Lab Characterization website. And one thing that was interesting to me in the spot of soils of Maine was how nicely the mercury concentration distribution fit with the horizonation. And so the pedological description of the soil works very well with the chemical data that we received from when we sampled. and there does appear to be more mercury in the surfaces of the Maine soils than the West Virginia soils, and it appears to be more contemporary in nature. So, and there may be evidence of a mercury deposition decline in the West Virginia forest soils. And finally, that there may be some differences in mercury stocks, there probably are, among West Virginia series related to parent materials and or landforms, but we just scratched the surface of that in this work. That's all I have. Thank you. You can search by soil series, by state, by county. At the National Soil Survey Lab website, yes, sir.
Yeah. Anybody does not know, the NRCS has an extremely vast, in the National Soil Characterization Database, a huge amount of data on everything from water retention curves to percent organic matter to texture. I mean, it's just a plethora of information. And if you log on to the Web Soil Survey, get into that website, you can go on the left-hand side and find all that information. It's just a wonderful data set.
If I might elaborate on that just for a second, we are doing an ongoing effort to conduct a systematic sampling of our major soil series that we map that relate to the spatial components of published soil survey information. That process involves sampling as something. We have to call it when we sample it, send it off. Then we evaluate the data in some place, and sometimes that gets recorrelated to another series name or something of that nature. So you want to approach it with a little bit of finesse, but the data is excellent, and it's all tied to total site and profile descriptions. So you get the whole kit and caboodle. You can even tie it into spatial extent maps. Where these soil series are used.
Are there any more questions for Steve? Okay.
Thank you. Doug.